Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Welcome to Full Power Living, where we're dedicated to awakening the world to the power and importance of human emotions. What can happen with a person who, as a child, is severely violated and hurt? Do scars last forever? Or can that person heal and go on to live a valuable and full life? And what effect does connecting with spirit and universal intelligence have on this process? These are some of the questions we're looking at today as I talk with Dr. Toni Luisa Rivera, who is author of The Propelled Heart. Please post your comments and questions on our blogs, which can be found on emotionalpro.com and on blogtalkradio.com/FPL for Full Power Living. You can also talk with me or Dr. Toni over our toll-free number, which is 888-498-0570. That's 888-498-0570. You also keep in mind, please, that you can sign up for Full Power Living's broadcast through subscription on iTunes. Dr. Toni Rivera is a doctor of chiropractic, a certified Rubenfeld synergist, an animal lover, and author of The Propelled Heart. She is founder of Intuition Mastery, which is a workshop series dedicated to the development of intuitive skills for access to inner wisdom. Rivera wants to awaken people to the art of listening to the messages of pain now as the route to a healthy and unlimited life in the future. And for more information, to go to www.ToniLuisaRivera.com. ToniLuisaRivera.com. So, Dr. Toni, welcome to Full Power Living.
Hi, Eileen. Thank you so much for having me.
You know, I kept resonating with your story as I read it, and I want to tell you how. Your father was career Air Force, and so was mine. You moved many times in your childhood, and so did I. You're good at being fully where you are, but not so good at keeping in contact with people from your past, and so am I. You're a helper of people through your work, and so am I. And you were sexually abused as a child, excuse me, and so was I. We are different, however, because your abuse occurred so early in your life that you didn't remember it for a long while, whereas I was 12 or 13 and remembered it fully. What we have in common, though, is that the abuse really impacted our lives and could have taken us far off track for a miserable lifetime, but we found ways for that not to happen. And it's also led to giving us a powerful mission in life to help people realize that pain and misfortune don't have to set the tone and trajectory of a lifetime. And so talk to me about some of these things. What's been most important to you?
Well, I so appreciate, my goodness, we do have a lot in common, don't we? It's so interesting how the military life can affect our lives throughout our lives, you know, being not ourselves that choice, but how it affected us. And I feel, you know, as you're saying, that there's choices that we make, and it is a part of healing to allow yourself the sadness, the why me part and all that, whether it's a memory of something far long ago like myself, or as you're in it yourself and remembering, because of course at 12 you're going to, it's very real and very in your face, especially that age, you know, when we're so sensitive and growing into the world, becoming adults. And then we have a choice to make. Is, am I going to stay in the why me, in the injury, or am I going to try to move forward and eventually find the gifts? And I think it does take a long time, differing for different people, to actually harvest eventually they can turn into gifts, but I would say the insights first into what one learns from life experiences, be it about people or increased sensitivity and ability to read people, which I think very many people who have suffered abuse are extremely sensitive and know what other people are thinking or want from them, etc. And that can be turned into a gift. That insight, that sensitivity can be turned into something to be useful in life, and instead of staying in the wound. So I really encourage people, and it's one of the reasons I wanted to share my story, is to encourage others to find those insights and move forward with what has happened instead of staying frozen in the injury.
I totally agree with you on that, and what a gift it is once you get out of being frozen in that injury. So I aim to help people with their painful emotions, and you worked with the pain in their bodies, although certainly, as you point out very well, emotions are connected to that pain. I was interested in what you said in the Propelled Heart about learning to work with people's physical pain from Elana Rubinfeld had to do with understanding their whole experience, their whole story. And I wondered if you would explain how our whole story relates to our body.
That's such a great question. I feel that the body really is eavesdropping, if you will. Deepak Chopra talks a lot about that recently, about how our body is a witness to every thought, even the subconscious streams of thought that aren't formed thoughts in our mind. And our body is manifesting that in its appearance, in its pain, in its symptoms, and its sensations, so even body disease, etc. So when I noticed in Puerto Rico, when I had my first chiropractic practice and was seeing many, many people, patterns started to come out because there were so many people, and I saw that when I would fix something physically, in quotes, right, with my chiropractic skills, and then maybe 2 or 3 years later, something similar would happen in their lives, mentally, emotionally, some feeling or some situation, and the same exact presentation. I would go back and compare the examinations, the x-rays, if there were those, and it was exactly the same. And it started getting me to notice, gee, this is creating, these mental, emotional issues are creating these physical problems. So I went back and started looking for who could I study with, and I discovered Elana Rubinfeld. And the Rubinfeld Synergy Method is not a treatment. It's not chiropractic. It is Alana's creation of putting together talk and touch that is an exploration and discovery of what the person is experiencing in their body. So instead of me saying, for example, well, it's your knee that's moving forward, a theme of moving forward, which may be a place to start, it's about how the body actually feels. You know, does it pinch? Does it pulse? Does it squeeze? And then in going into that physical sensation, there's no mistake that it metaphorically will represent a situation, a relationship, or something that's happening in your life that relates how you feel emotionally about that situation. So it's extremely interesting also that in our English language we use the word feelings for emotional feelings and also feelings for physical sensations. They're linked.
Yeah, that's really true. You bring to mind that years ago I was working with a man who was a policeman in psychotherapy, and he told me he was going to have his gallbladder removed. He had gallstones and so forth, and he had a few weeks before the event, so I asked him if he would come for a few extra sessions for us to work on anger, because I realized that people said things like, he's got a lot of gall, or that takes a lot of gall to do that, and so forth. And I thought, well, let's work with the anger. And you know, the man never had to have the operation. The stones disappeared. Yeah.
This is what I'm speaking of, and it's so powerful if you're willing to go to the depth with the emotions and discover yourself, you know, really get to know yourself and discover the messages your body is trying to deliver. Many times there is healing without an invasive procedure or an intervention that can cause other complications. The body responds to our thoughts. So isn't that amazing? That's a great story. And that happens all the time.
Yes, good. Well, you know, to get back to how our own experience can help us connect with others and function in the world, I was remembering as I was putting the questions together to talk with you about that I once talked with a young woman who'd been physically abused in her teen years, and I made a point of telling her that I believed her story. And having me believe her and support her was a major turning point for her. She told me no one had ever believed her before.
Yes.
And your story in The Propelled Heart about how your mother got lost in her own reaction to your revelation that you'd been abused and left you feeling like you'd been bad or there was something wrong with you, it was heartbreaking. And it's really important for us, not only with others, but with ourselves, to believe our experience, to validate it, to love ourselves through it, would you say?
I think you are just right on the key point, because so many times, I was just speaking with a colleague the other day about this, that many times this thing about false memory syndrome, you know, I think that instead of it being that someone made up the event, it is really that the people not believing, that's what creates the problem. Because in my case, for example, those kind of memories when you're very, very young are in the body. They're not linear. So you don't, you can't give facts, you know, place, time, you know, those kind of details. And so many people who've been abused very young will forget if the abuse ends, because the brain, to protect itself, will push it down so that you're not faced with it every day in your memory. So it becomes kind of, you know, gray. It's way back there, you know, and you don't know, is it real or not? Am I really remembering this? Because it's coming from the body. And then people who are older, many times people will just not believe them because they can't face it themselves. You know, like that, your father, your brother, your stepfather, whatever, could not have abused you. This would not happen. They just don't want to believe it. And it makes for crazy making. People start to doubt themselves and being able to trust themselves and these kind of things. And, you know, if people tell you you're crazy long enough, you start to believe it. So big first step to healing is someone believing you that it actually happened.
Right. Well, that's interesting. I married my husband, Bob, about 20 years ago, and I would occasionally talk to him about some of my youthful experiences. And he would say to me, well, if I were in that situation, I would have just done blah, blah, blah. And I would say to him, but when you're in that situation, you can't think outside of the box. You can't do those things. You don't think you have that power. And I learned from talking with him that that it really is important, because if you haven't had experiences like that yourself, you really don't know how to relate to them, and you really often you have difficulty understanding how a person could even be there for the incident.
Exactly, and so many times, it's the same as if someone jumps out of an alley with a gun, you don't know how you're going to respond until you're faced with it right there. And this is the same thing when we as children, no matter what age, or young women, or a woman of any age, when someone attacks you, you freeze. And you just can't believe it's happening. And you're in that fear of that moment. And no one knows how they're going to respond until that's happening. And it's really unfortunate that people will start to say, well, you should have told somebody, for example, if it was somebody in your family. Well, you should have just told somebody. But, you know, the abusers make it very clear not to tell anyone. And, you know, there's no way to get out of that situation in the moment. You know, it takes time and someone helping you usually to get out, you know.
Yes. So often when terrible things happen in life, we humans tend to focus on the negative rather than seeing that along with the negative comes some positive. And I note from reading your book that there were quite a few aspects of your young life that supported you in moving forward. For example, your sense of adventure and your connection with dogs and horses and the adventure of sailing. How did those allow you to move ahead in your life?
Well, I was quite fortunate to be in a situation where I was able to be outside a lot, and I had my animals in my life, and they were my confidants and my friends, and their love, I think, really helped heal my heart and allow me to see myself in a different way, you know, with them. And that sense of adventure, I think, kind of actually came from my mom, who was a very adventurous person. And I always wanted to explore and you know, find exciting things to do. And I feel, you know, I didn't remember when the abuse until I was, you know, in my late 30s, early 40s. So that didn't hold me back, you know. And somehow I was very bold with people. I don't know how, you know, underlying that being in my body and my mind, in the back of my mind, I just stepped out and was very outgoing and independent with people. But also, too, it's close relationships suffered, you know. Like, I didn't ever want to be somebody's girlfriend in high school. I wanted to be a part of the whole group, you know. I didn't want to, and I don't know, I'm sure that those experiences of youth affected me and not wanting to get too close, you know, with one person.
Well, I had a bit of that, and I relate to it as being the daughter of a military family, because you are constantly going into new situations, and like you said before, you have a choice. You either become a wallflower or you go ahead and meet new people. So,
right.
You know,
and
I think that
new places.
Yeah, and also it seemed to me that your parents supported your studies and your education. I was very impressed with how, oh, this looks interesting. Let me go explore this. Let me apply for chiropractic school. You really had a way of following your heart.
Yes, and it was always my dad was always a great support in that. Of he always believed in education. He himself continues to like to study things, and so when I would find something that was interesting to me, he was 100% behind me, even though we had never heard the word chiropractic before in our family. When I came home with that notion and explored it myself, he was right there behind me. And there was something about chiropractic that is always fascinating to me. And then when I first went to the school and that first class, and I knew I was born for this.
Wow, that's really wonderful that you could find something like that. We're up to our first break. My guest today is the author of The Propelled Heart, Dr. Tony Rivera. And how did she learn to listen to her own body? And what tools does she have to offer you in listening to your body? Those are things we'll find out when we return here on Full Power Living.
Everybody feels anger, but if you don't learn to deal with it, anger can mess up your life. It can cause you relationship problems, difficulties on the job, or create health problems. If you want a way to understand and work with anger that's simple yet so powerful it helps you to put an end to the specific angers that are messing up your life, then you'll want to get a copy of a mini course I've created for you entitled Reduce Anger Now. With it, I want you to be able to figure out what's stimulating the anger you feel and have an easy way to change that anger so you can dramatically reduce the anger in your life. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, longtime psychotherapist, coach, and anger expert. I've helped thousands of people to master anger, and I want you to begin to become an anger master in your life. Order Reduce Anger Now at the store, www.emotionalpro.com. That's www.emotionalpro.com.
All right, welcome back to Full Power Living. I have a few announcements. First, I invite you to go now to emotionalpro.com and get your copy of my free list of the signals of 7 everyday emotions. And they can help you immediately start moving toward mastery over the emotions that come up in your life. And while you're there, sign up to be on our mailing list. We'd like to send you our biweekly newsletter telling you about our programs. Next week, for example, multimillionaire entrepreneur, philanthropist, and angel investor Mae McCarthy is going to be sharing 7 spiritual steps for financial abundance as we talk about the path to wealth. Be here next Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific time, noon Eastern. And when you listen, you're helping us with our mission of transforming our world through understanding the importance, mastery, and power of human emotions. Emotions are part of everything. They allow us to explore many frontiers of change and the transformation that's now occurring. So when you share the ideas you hear here on the show, you help us with our mission, and I'm most grateful to you for that. So I invite you also to tell everyone. I'm talking today with Dr. Tony Luisa Rivera, who's powerhouse chiropractor and certified Rubenfeld synergist, about the propelled heart. And before we go back into some of the things you want people to take away for themselves for working with their own body, Dr. Tony, I'd like to take a minute to talk with you about Tom Bird. I noticed that Tom Bird was a part of the catalyst for you getting your book done. And he was a guest here on Full Power Living a few months ago. He teaches people how to, quote, write from God and get their book published. What propelled you to do this, and how was it helpful to you that maybe people listening have some information inside of them that they would want to share?
Well, you know, it was interesting. Finally, after talking for years about writing a book, I knew it was time, and I started trying to write my first book, and I joined a writing group here in town, and the leaders would help us by covering topics every time we met once a month, and we would write together, and it was wonderful. And they were very left brain approach. Okay, write your table of contents. Okay, you know, it was so left brain, I would just freeze. I couldn't write anything. I wasn't getting anywhere. And then Tom Bird came to town, to Santa Fe, and he did a 2-hour talk about writing from the right brain. And I thought, well, gee, it wouldn't hurt to go and see what he has to say. And he had us go through an exercise of leading us into altering our state and going to the right brain, and he had us write. And it just flowed. I couldn't believe what it was like uncorking a bottle that was waiting to be opened, and I knew after struggling for 6 months in a left brain way that the right brain was the way for me, and I signed up to do a first weekend workshop with him. And his key workshop is write your bestseller in a weekend, which everybody says, oh, how could you possibly do that? But when you stay in the right brain and write for hours, and I tell you, everyone finish their book by the end of the weekend. And then he teaches you how to put it together in a format. Then you go trying to stay still more in a right brain state, but he teaches you how to organize the book, and he reads it, and he's just wonderful in helping you to really do what you've always dreamed of doing, and showing you a way to unlock those words, and it just flows right out. It's amazing. So I recommend.
Wow. Well, thank you for that testimonial. I know I'm taking you a little bit off topic, but I was very impressed that you were a person who actually got your book published following that system, and it really is intriguing. Now, about your title, you came up with the title The Propelled Heart, and one definition I found for propelled is the cause to move forward or onward. And in your book, you have a chapter about the red cloud, and that was the one puzzle that kept going for me. I wasn't quite sure I understood what you meant by the propelled heart.
Well, thank you for asking. The title seemed to fit so perfectly. One of my spiritual teachers used the term the propelled heart to describe when a person reaches a stage in their life, instead of being more self-interested in a way of selfish, I guess you'd say, or being stuck in a wound, the person will start to want to learn from their life. What am I learning from my relationships and my life situations? What is life trying to tell me? And my teacher used that stage of life, he described it as the propelled heart, when your heart starts opening and including others and wanting to move forward and learn and grow spiritually and otherwise, you know, mentally, emotionally. So I thought it was the perfect title when the book was actually done. Actually, yes, I was thinking at the Tom Bird workshop at the end, everybody who had finished, he said, what do you think your title might be? And it just came right in, the propelled heart. And, you know, that my heart moving forward.
Yes, good. All right. Then I did understand it correctly. So let me talk about, you know, regardless of what happened in your life, you are a powerhouse. I'm still reeling from learning that when you set up your very first chiropractic office in Puerto Rico, within 3 years, you were seeing 70 people a day.
Yes.
And so what I learned about you is that whatever you put your attention on grows exponentially. Have you noticed that over your life again and again?
I do tend to be somewhat driven, and I'm very enthusiastic. So when I choose, it's like, or something chooses me. When I find something that to me is, I'm stimulated by helping others, and it's something that I know is good and valuable and works, and I am so enthusiastic. I just go for it 100%.
It's impressive, I'm telling you. We already talked some about the body, but I came across some quotes that I'd like to just read to you from what I wrote down so that we can talk about it. You say the body has an awareness, a wisdom about our lives that is singular. The point of view that the body has of our lives and the way it expresses this opinion is unique. The body can only speak through sensation. Somatic, which means of the body, somatic sensation is a very nuanced language in each individual body. And then you also say the physical body is a metaphorical representation of a person's life, and it's the most important source of information about one's life and healing, and that is the body.
Mm-hmm.
Those are fantastic things you're saying there. You want to expand on one or two of them?
I do. You know, we can fool ourselves with our educated mind, and we sometimes in wanting, let's say something has happened that's difficult in life, anything, you know, from abuse to losing a job or, you know, losing a relationship, and sometimes we want it so much to be over, we just tell ourselves, okay, you know, I'm okay, I'm not angry. Maybe we even read a book that says you have to forgive the people or you'll carry that with you, which is true. However, just saying it doesn't mean it's over, and the body will let you know at what stage of healing you are at. So, for example, let's say I'm working with someone and they've just lost a relationship, and perhaps the person wronged them in some way, and maybe they're saying to me, like, well, I'm over it. I don't care. Yes, that happened, but, you know, it doesn't bother me. And then I go to touch their back, and their back is hard as a rock. So that's not really congruent, okay? And then I can, many times we don't even notice, right? So I'll touch the back and say, you know, what are you feeling here? Well, it feels really hard, the person might say, okay. And hard like, well, it's hard like a rock. And if that rock could talk, what would it say? let's say the person then tuning in says, oh my gosh, I am really angry. And it has to be expressed in some way and explained, and somebody witnessing, what you mentioned earlier, somebody believing, somebody witnessing, somebody understanding. So I'm like the witness there, and I let them talk about it. I'm angry because blah, 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 blah. Many times it's related to something in the past. Has this happened to you before? Yes, right? And by getting the message and the body being able to say, actually, I'm angry about, and expressing it, and being witnessed, and being, what would you say, like believed, then the body can let go of that hardness in the back, and it will instantly let it go. As soon as the person gets the message that this is what's really the, what is the truth in the mind of the person. Now, there may be people who get over it right away, and their body wouldn't be hard, you see?
Yeah.
So, now, that's the point I'm making is our body, when I say the point of view is singular, the body will always tells the truth of what are the underlying thoughts and emotions that you're experiencing. Your ego might be saying a different story, but the body will always display the truth. So if we listen to it and really work through the things that need to be worked through, which is different for each person, then the body will release those sensations, those pains, even those diseases, like in the case of the man with the gallbladder stones. And then you can move forward and say truly that you're over it.
Well, it sounds to me, now, probably with the people you work with directly, the people who come to you, you don't have this issue. But in our culture at large, aren't you sort of in an uphill struggle to listen to and work with their own bodies as opposed to popping a pill?
You know, it is, it's interesting, and the paradigm is shifting because people do want something different. When this has been interesting my whole career. When I first went to Puerto Rico, I was so enthusiastic, 26 years old, and I had my own x-ray machine, and I would do full spine x-rays, and I'd put them up, and I would make everybody sit through, my Spanish wasn't very good at that time, sit through me explaining their x-rays in broken Spanish to them, you know, for half an hour, and then they would listen to everything to me, and I'd say, do you have any questions? And they would say, and what pill are you going to give me?
Oh, my gosh.
And I would almost, I'd say, no, I'm going to fix your spine and blah, blah, blah. And after about 3-4 years, people came and they said, I came to you because you don't give pills. You are going to really help me get better. And I feel that's happening all over the world. So when it finally comes that the pill doesn't work anymore, that your pain is preventing you from living the life you want to live, when some disease is happening and they want you to do some kind of horrific treatment, then people will turn around and say, and what I'm doing works. And that's the proof in the pudding, right? That
yes.
People will come because they say, I come to you. My friend says they don't know how to explain what you do, but they told me to come here because you're doing something different and special, and I'm sick of taking pills. And
that's
so,
really great.
Yeah.
Ironically, my husband, Bob, died in January this year of cancer, not really of the cancer, but from the pain of the metastases. And he gave up after spending a week in the hospital where they were experimenting with different medications to help him with the pain. And none of them worked. And he finally said, either do something to help me die or sign me up for hospice because I'm not doing this anymore. And he had a very strong belief in the modern medicine. We had opportunities to do other things, but he declined them. But still, you know, the pills weren't really helping at that point.
Right. I'm so sorry for your loss. And, you know,
thank you.
What we go through, I mean, there is a whole movement now, right, of the dignity in dying. I mean, you know, none of us is getting out of here alive. However, we don't need to suffer. at the end, and I feel sometimes the false hope or that grasping that the medical profession can do at the end only prolongs suffering and makes it worse, you know. And many times by, you know, even though perhaps he was still going to pass, the approaching in a different way, he could have been more comfortable and not exasperated and exhausted, you know?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So that was difficult to watch. He had his own, he himself was a retired physician, and he had his own way of deciding how to go through it. And I would talk with him about other ways and offer them, but you know, my choice was to support him in what was right for him. So
I want the only thing you can do.
Yeah. So I want to get back to something you were talking about before too. In my own work as a psychotherapist, I've come to understand this world as a giant school to which we all come in order to learn and grow. And in your book, you talk about recurrent emotional events, or sometimes you call them repeat offenders. And again, I feel a lot of kinship with you because what you're describing from my experience is that our lives, our bodies, our emotions are working hard to help us learn and complete our learning. And like you said before, as soon as the person faces the fact of the anger, the lesson is learned and it's finished and it ends immediately and you don't have to keep going. And you're doing that with the body, correct?
Yes, and I so 100% agree with you that this life is a school, and when we don't get the lesson, it keeps recurring and recurring. We keep finding the same relationship, the same job, the same boss, until we finally have an insight and shift, something shifts inside of us through that insight on a deep level. We learn something, not just like reading a book, but the aha, that, you know, understanding deep within, that's what this means for me. And then you don't have to repeat it again. It's over.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
And
yeah.
And that's hard for people to realize, that, you know, that it happens that fast. And when people come to me in my office for therapy and we've talked about something, a change they need to make, and they're not making it, I say, oh, that's all right. The universe won't leave you alone till you get it. You can, you have a choice, you know. You can keep suffering if you want.
Don't worry, it'll come around again.
Right, and it does. And my experience is every time it comes around, it's a harsher lesson as well.
It can be, you know, and I think a part of it is because there's a, you know, inside of us, that soul that wants to conk our ego over the head says, okay, here we go again. The ego's like, oh my gosh, not again.
Right.
You know, the it's amazing, and this is what I want, you know, through my book, hopefully, and my teaching about intuition and everything, is that our body really is right there as a resource to what needs to happen, because many times our ego doesn't recognize that it is about us. It keeps thinking it's outside of us, you know, it's somebody else, those
right.
again, you know, all these things outside. But when you start to feel the feeling like, okay, I'm frustrated, I always get treated this way at work, and then you feel, how does that feel in my body and where is it? And you start to work with it from within, even if it seems like it's outside. If you bring it in and notice what you're experiencing in your body, this can guide you to your insight. And the body is our greatest ally. And right there waiting, it just keeps on showing us what's right in front of us, but the ego many times can't see. So that's why I like to focus on the body. Just turn it inside. Feel what it feels like and where it is in your body, and that's the beginning of a journey inside that you can really change your life.
That's great. We're at our second break. I'm talking today with Dr. Toni Luisa Rivera about the propelled heart and about listening and working with your own intuition and body for healing and a powerful life. This is Full Power Living, and we'll be right back.
difficult is it for you to ask directly for what you really want, to take responsibility graciously and willingly for your mistakes, or to relate with others because it's fun instead of because you need something from them? Most people believe manipulation and codependence are normal behaviors for adults. They may be common, but they're not normal. Manipulative behaviors really are designed to be part of childhood, to be put away as things of the past when we become adults. So, if you're ready to let manipulation and codependence be part of your past, then get the mini course I've created for you, Ending Codependence, The Bottom Line. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, offering you a formula that you can follow for creating healthy, manipulation-free, and lasting intimate relationships. I also give you the tools and principles that you can use to develop lasting immunity to codependence. Get Ending Codependence today at www.emotionalpro.com. That's emotionalpro.com.
Welcome back to Full Power Living. In case you're just joining us, I'm talking today with chiropractor and author Dr. Toni Luisa Rivera, and she's dedicated to awakening people like you and me to the art of listening to the messages of any pain we may have now as the route to a healthy and unlimited life in the future. So, your website is toniluisarivera.com, toniluisarivera.com. And Dr. Toni, you have free MP3 downloads of exercises that you have in your book, The Propelled Heart. And those exercises take us to the places you've been talking about so far. They help us become aware of our body, to discover the message of physical symptoms, to do a heart scan, and the thing that we talked about right before the break, to discover the metaphor of recurring emotion, recurring events. And you say that you offer these to help your reader deepen his or her ability to hear the messages of the body and tune in to intuition, and also to bring to light critical person's physical or emotional or even spiritual pain. Tell us more about those exercises. How did you get into doing them? You know, I appreciate also that you give a long version and what you call a diamond version, so that the diamond version makes it easier if you're self-leading the exercise to follow it. That's great.
Yes, I tried to do that because you want the long hands for people to get a sense, because this is a new skill for people to develop. And so the long version is to get you into that, and then that diamond point version so that you can just go, you know, quickly summarize, okay, I got the idea of what I should be doing, and then you can lay down or sit down and close your eyes and go inside. And then the MP3s came about because I understand it is the easiest is having someone lead you through with their voice. And so on the website, you'll find, my voice leading you through. And I developed these exercises through working with Alana Rubenfeld. The way that she taught was through, instead of a didactic, you know, a lecture, she taught through experience. And one would, as a teacher under her tutelage, she would have us look at what are you trying to teach, and then what would you hope people to learn, and then devising an exercise to help people discover that within their own body, mind, and emotions. And so this became a skill I was developing, and then as I was, whenever I teach, that's what I do. I develop exercises and have people, instead of coming at it from that intellectual part of our mind, which sometimes can block insight, to help people to get to another frame of mind, a more relaxed, alpha, if you will, daydreamy kind of state, where when you're inside experiencing your internal sensation, you do change the brainwave state and become more daydreamy, and insight revelation can come to you in that state. So the exercises are developed from that spirit of helping you open the door to your own understanding of yourself, which is, there's nothing like it. I mean, somebody can tell you something, but when you know it inside of you, you never forget it. So that's the idea of the exercises, is really to create a personal experience.
That's great, and it does that very nicely. I have had a really busy week, so I didn't get to download the MP3s. I intend to, but just working the exercises is very helpful. I also love your words on respect, value, equality, and self-worth. And I know this was an area that you worked diligently on during your life. And I wanted to ask you to share with us some of what you've discovered.
You know, along the way, as I learned new things and started to get into different avenues, and it was amazing to me when I just really never gave myself credit, even with all I was doing, 70 people a day, all these people getting help, and I needed 70 people a day to tell me I was good, because I was inside my head telling myself I was bad. And it wasn't until I started learning and taking other courses with other masters like Ilana that I realized that, oh my goodness, I was not valuing myself at all. Even I could help so many people, and they all thought I was great, but I didn't think too much of myself. And I started really, in healing my own wounds, going inside and looking at that and, you know, where that came from, and starting to be able to recognize. And I speak about it in the book, some of the revelations that came through different sessions, where I realized that, you know, this is, my life is my life, and not only do I have the right to live my life, I have a duty. There'll never be another me, and there'll never be another you, and we really have that duty as this gift of life to express our 100% uniqueness and the gifts, and bring those gifts to the world. And there's no one else that can do it but each one of us. So that we need to learn how to value and feel that we have worth to bring to the world. And I think that's a key to healing. So many people, I find, after I discovered that years ago, and still going to the depths of that that topic, is that so many people today are suffering with a lack of self-worth and really not respecting themselves. And I think that's part of the problems in the world today, is people looking for the respect from outside and not finding it, but it's not inside either. And that's right, where it has to start from.
Well, yeah, I don't think you can find it until you have it inside. Let me share a quick story with you from my own experience that underscores what you've just said. It has to do with my daughter, whom we called Betsy, and she was 3, and she and I agreed we were going to make lunch together for her to take to school the next day. And I had to leave the room for a minute, and when I came back, the brand new jar of peanut butter that I had set on the counter had fallen on the floor, and she was standing over it saying, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry," and sobbing her little heart out. And I thought, oh my gosh, this 3-year-old is crying this hard over a jar of peanut butter. So I got down and I started just rubbing her chest, which I've learned is the fear center. And I started saying to her, "Who's more important, Betsy or peanut butter?" And I said it several times, and she looked up with her little teary eyes and said, "Peanut butter." I said, "Well, wait a minute, can we get another jar of peanut butter? Could we get in our car and go to the store and get another jar of peanut butter?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, where could we get another Betsy?" And she shrugged her shoulders. And I said, "That's right. There is, in all of time, there is no other Betsy. You're the only one. And so I want you to remember that the peace in your heart is always more important than anything like a jar of peanut butter." And I found out that for years she wrote papers for school about who's more important, Betsy or peanut butter.
That is so beautiful, though. I mean, that's, you know, there's something, I guess, inherently human about to discover that self-worth. And we need to, and you helped her get that at such a young age. That's so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, well, it was an opportunity I couldn't pass up. So theoretically then, when we're bathed in light through spirit or universal intelligence, I've come to understand that we're intrinsically healthy. And if so, that means that pains and illness and disease are ultimately ways of pointing out to us that we're out of balance. And yes, a big part of what you're offering the world and the people you work with is ways to rebalance, which is more effective than treating illness. Would you agree or disagree with that statement?
Oh, I agree 100%. I think there's so much that would be eliminated by us being in tune with spirit and having a relationship with that source greater than us, whatever you want to call it or however you want to do that and whatever your spiritual path is, but to have that relationship with that source of energy, of life force that becomes our body, that becomes our soul, that our soul is a piece of, actually, I think the more in balance we are with that, the healthier, happier, and more 100% expression of our unique self that we are. And we wouldn't have all these things. You can just see people that have that beam in their eye and that bounce in their step and, know that they're more in tune. And unfortunately, when we get out of tune, that's when things start to go awry. And the body, again, is just trying to help us find that path again, because when you have those insights, it's just amazing. I even have had people, they'll sit up on the table and say, wow, the colors of that painting are so vivid to me now, and look at that plant, it's so alive, and, because they've shred off these veils of that are before their sense of themselves in the world and the world around them. And it just comes down when we have those insights.
That's so wonderful. Well, I really appreciate the way you're doing that. And I want to say that to me, you are a breath of fresh air. I really want to thank you for sharing your personal journey. Are there any final words you'd like to say, something you'd like people to take away with them today?
Well, I would like to say that we all have the ability to have insight, to tune into ourselves, and it is very simple and very profound, and that body is just waiting for you. Even if you just, when you go to bed at night, close your eyes, take a couple moments, how do I feel right now, and breathe into whatever you're noticing, and start there. It's very simple.
That's wonderful. And my learning is that in this giant school, truth is simple. So I really appreciate that. I know it's true. So let me remind you as you're listening that Dr. Toni's book is The Propelled Heart. Her website is Toni, T-O-N-I, Luisa, L-U-I-S-A, Rivera, R-I-V-E-R-A.com. And Dr. Toni, it's been a real pleasure having you as my guest here today on Full Power Living. And when you get your next book done, call me.
Oh, I would love to be with you again. Wonderful. Thank you for having me.
All right. Thank you. So join us live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific time, which is noon Eastern time, for more powerful experiences on Full Power Living. Join us again next Thursday when Mae McCarthy talks with me about how to get on the path to wealth. That's next Thursday at 9 a.m. Tell your 9 a.m. Pacific time. Tell your own friends and family, and I'll see you here next week. Paul Johnston of Fresh Talk Media is our producer. Thank you for being on the job, Paul. For now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you, pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
To Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.